good to be here.
Amen.
Kind of reminds me when we were in Puebla. We first moved there. It was just Adi and I. And so we would go downtown and I would preach to her. And everybody going by, you know, just looked and saw me screaming at my wife. So they're wondering what's going on there. So we got a lot of visitors like that. But yeah, it reminds me of this. There's a little more of you here, so it's not as bad. I'm going to be in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 8. Jeremiah, chapter 8. And this is the Lord speaking here. The Lord he gives warning of his judgment. And verses 1 through 3, God gives a warning of his judgment. And it's impressive because God actually does this quite often. God warns us of his judgment. God warns us that judgment is coming. He does this often. He does this in many, many different occasions in the Bible. He warns the children of Israel, judgment is coming. If y'all keep going the way you're going, judgment is coming. He warns us many times, judgment is coming. And this is what he does in verses 1 through 3. He's given them a warning. He's given Jerusalem a warning that judgment is coming. And he's explaining that this judgment is going to be bad. It's gonna be bad. They're gonna come in and they're gonna leave people dead and their bones, they're just gonna be exposed to the sun and the moon, those things that they were serving, he's gonna leave them exposed. They're not even gonna get a proper burial. It's gonna be bad. In verse 3, he goes on to say that it's gonna be so bad that those that are left alive are gonna wish they had died. That's how bad this judgment was going to be. And so here, this is what God is doing in verses 1 through 3. He's telling them of his judgment. You know, the truth is that this is how God works. He gives us a warning of his judgment. His judgment doesn't come without warning. And the truth is, right now, we have a warning of judgment that is coming. God has told us what is going to happen. In fact, the Bible says that it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. As clear, as real as it is to you to know that you are going to die, that's how real it should be to you that judgment is coming. God has warned us, judgment is coming. There is going to be a judgment day. You're going to stand before God. And the Bible says that there's a way for you to escape that. There's a way for you not to go through the wrath that you deserve. And that's if you have the blood of Jesus Christ applied on your life. Because Jesus Christ died and then he rose again the third day. And if you believe in Jesus Christ, you can escape that wrath. Now that is real. But you know, today I want to talk about the great delusion. And as far as the world is concerned, what I just said, that is the great delusion. As far as the world is concerned, that is the real delusion. You speak of Jesus Christ. Listen, if I can, and you might be listening right now and you might be thinking, hey, you know, what you're talking about, you're kind of crazy. You're talking about there's a world, there's a kingdom that your eyes cannot see, and we're expecting that kingdom to come, that kingdom that is not of this world, that kingdom whose king is Jesus Christ, who died and rose after 3 days. You talk about the resurrection, and boy, you're going to get a few people rolling their eyes at you talking about the resurrection. Because that just sounds quite crazy to most of the world. And they might think that is the great delusion. In their eyes, the great delusion is we think that God is going to come back. Jesus is going to come back and God is going to judge everybody.
Right.
Every work that you've ever done is going to be judged. That seems like the great delusion to the world. But the truth is, that is not the great delusion. The great delusion is what God, I think, is talking about here. The great delusion, in reality, is to think that you are wiser than God.
Right.
That's really the great delusion. You start thinking you're greater than God, and now you really are delusional. And there's an it's understandable why there would be this conflict. It's understandable why the world would think that what the Bible says is delusional. It's understandable why the world would think that God is going to judge, that God exists, and that Jesus Christ is coming back to reign. It's understandable why they would think that is delusional. It's because we have different realities. The one thinks one thing is real, one thinks the other thing is not real. One thinks there is no God. And so if you think there is no God, then of course those that say and claim there is a God are going to think, boy, that's just delusional. And those that claim there is a God and know there is a God, well, those that don't believe that there is a God are going to be considered delusional. So it's an understandable conflict. It's understandable that these two views are not compatible. And listen, we're not trying to make them compatible. We don't have to try to make them compatible. A lot of times we're trying to kind of find a way, find a line, find something that we can just make it seem like, well, we can come together and we can come to agreement in certain things. But the truth is, we're just simply not compatible. If you don't believe what the Bible says about God, then you are not living in the true reality.
Right. That's right.
You're in a great delusion. And this is what he says in the end of verse 9. He says, they have rejected the word of the Lord. And what wisdom is in them? You can see God thinking, what kind of delusion are y'all living in? You've rejected me. You've rejected my word. And you think you're wise. Boy, are you delusional. You see, God created us. You see, there is a true, intelligent design behind life. Life did not just happen spontaneously. And if you want to believe that, that's fine. You can believe that. But hey, that's just not how things happen. It doesn't just happen by spontaneity. It doesn't just all of a sudden come together. If you have, you could have pieces of a machine. Let's say you have the pieces of a bike scattered out along a desert land. And you can have the tires there, you can have everything in pieces. How many tornadoes are going to come through? You think millions and millions of tornadoes just moved all those pieces around and finally one, somehow after millions of tornadoes, that just, the pieces fell together. By accident, they just came together, and it's a bike, and you can ride it. Now, if I told you that, you'd probably not believe me.
Yeah, right.
But you know how much more complicated your body is than a bike?
Amen.
If you can't believe a bike came together just by spontaneity, if all the evidence proves that anything that is that has a function, an amazing, incredible function is put together is from design, how can we then not conclude there's an intelligent design behind all of us? Because we function amazing and such difficulty, such precision, so incredible. Doctors and all kinds of scientists are really still just figuring things out because it's so amazing, so complicated. Intelligent design is real.
Yes.
We are created. And can you imagine when that creator, who with such a brilliance made you, and you start thinking, I'm a whole lot smarter than the one that made me. And he's thinking, how delusional are you?
Yeah.
You're living the great delusion if you think you're wiser than God. You reject his word and you think you're wise, you're living the great delusion. And that is the great delusion. You were created by intelligent design. And if you don't want to believe what the creator has told you, if you don't want to believe the word that he has given you, then you're living a great delusion. And this delusion makes you lose certain things, because that's what happens when you're delusional. You lose certain things. And this great delusion makes you lose some things, and it is very dangerous. Because again, at the end, there is going to be a judgment for you being and living in this delusion. And so it's time for you to wake up. You need to wake up out of this delusion. So let me show a few things that he says here, and things that you lose because of this great delusion. Verses 4 and 5, he says, "Moreover, thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord, Shall they fall and not arise? Shall he turn away and not return? Why then is this people of Jerusalem slidden back by a perpetual backsliding? They hold fast deceit and refuse to return." You know, the first thing, or one of the things that you lose whenever you are living this great delusion, is you lose your common sense. Yeah. And this is basically what he's saying here. He's saying, who would fall down and then not get up? I mean, we know a wise man and a just man falls 7 times and gets up 7 times. Because if you fall, what are you going to do? Just lay down? Oh, I fell, and I'm just going to lay here for the rest of the day because I fell. Or I fell down, I'm just going to lay here for the rest of my life. No, that doesn't make sense. You fall and you get up. He says, who's going to fall and not arise? Shall he turn away and not return? Who's going to go down the wrong way and just keep going? Just keep going. Oh, I'm going the wrong way. Yeah, I know it. I'm just going to keep going. I'm just going to keep going the wrong way. That is losing your common sense. If you're going the wrong way, you need to turn around. And God is surprised here. He's saying, what's going on? Why are they perpetually going the wrong way? That just doesn't make sense. You've lost your common sense if you don't turn around. One time, Donnie and I, we went fishing down to Port Aransas. And we were going down there, we were around Corpus Christi a little before, and there was a long curve, right? You couldn't see the road, it was a curve, and there was 3 lanes, and some people got off behind us, the exit behind us, and I was driving, we had the trailer boat behind, and I was on the left lane, this fast lane. So we were going, and I decided, you know, I'm going to get into the middle lane. I'm going to move over into the middle lane. And as I was moving over into the middle lane, while we were going around the curve, all of a sudden, I'm in the middle lane, and right down, right past us comes an old man driving in the lane we were just in. Man, that was scary. You know, you got to say, that is losing your common sense. Boy, you're going down the wrong way on the highway. That is crazy. That's just crazy. You've gone mad. You're delusional. What are you doing? You're not seeing the signs. You're not seeing what's going on. That's the woman that called him up and said, hey, you know, there's somebody on the highway going the wrong way. And he's the one saying, no, honey, there's hundreds of them coming the wrong way. That was that guy. Man, I don't ever want to see that again. I think it's the only time I've seen it, and I don't want to see it again. Well, one time I was with Missy in the car when she started getting on the highway the wrong way, but that's a different story. But, you know, you've gone, you've lost your senses, you've lost your common sense if you don't turn around when you're going the wrong way. And that's what he's saying. They're in a perpetual backsliding. They're continuing going the wrong way, and they won't turn around. When you think, I am wiser than God, this is what is happening to you. You're losing your common sense. You're going the wrong way, and God is saying, turn, turn, turn ye from your evil way, for why will you die? And he's saying this to you, and you just ignore that. And you keep going down the wrong way. You keep going the wrong way because you've lost your common sense. Because you're living in a great delusion where you think you're so much wiser than God. When he says, that's wrong, don't do that, and you just keep on going, and you don't turn around, it's because you've lost your common sense. And this is what happens when you're living the great delusion. You're driving the wrong way. And how many signs are supposed to come up before you're going to wake up and say, hey, I'm going the wrong way. I need to turn around. But you don't do it because you're living a delusion. What does he say? He says, you hold fast to deceit. You refuse to return. You've gotten so accustomed to going the wrong way. You love the lie. You love lies. You just hold on to them. It's like people who are so enamored with their religion. They just love their religion and they won't turn. They will not accept the truth. Even if they know that what they have is a lie. They just love their religion so much, they won't turn from it. It's because they're living a delusion, thinking that they're wiser than God. They've lost the common sense. They've lost the common sense to say, hey, if God says, turn around, I should turn around. God gives us a warning sign. No, that's not the way it's supposed to be. That's the wrong way. And we don't want to turn around. You've lost your common sense. You know, homosexuality is not natural.
Right.
And it really doesn't take a genius to figure that one out. It's just not natural. I mean, hey, we want the society to grow. We want the society to be the best it can be. We want the world and we want humanity to expand and to continue on. Guess what? Homosexuality is not gonna get that done. It's just, we don't have to talk about, you know, if it's wrong and sin, and we don't have to talk about that. It's just simply look at it. It's not natural. It's just not natural. Listen, you want a family? You want to have a family? You want to procreate? You want to have kids and all this? That's not homosexuality. That's not the way you do it. And yet, you've noticed, right, that homosexuality is growing so much that they want to have a family. They want to be able to get married and adopt kids and they want to say, we have a family. But don't you get it? All you're doing is you're wanting to live a lie and you're going to go so far into it that you don't care how many warning signs are saying, no, that's not the way it was made. That's not the way it was designed. That is not even common sense. That's not even natural. But we don't want to listen to that. We don't want to listen to common sense. We don't want to listen to what's natural. We don't even want to go by what is natural. We're just going down the wrong way. We're going to hold fast to this lie.
Right.
Now this is not easy stuff to take. It's not easy things to hear because it's not easy to hear that you're delusional. And it's never going to be nice. And again, there's nothing we can do to make it sound real nice. What are we trying to do? As Christians, we're trying to, we want to sound so nice and smart and we want to sound so good and we want to sound so... Listen, if it's not right, if it's not common sense, the one that is delusional is not going to take it easy ever. If you're calling them, you're saying you're living outside of reality, you need to get back to what is real. You're calling somebody crazy, that's not going to come off as you always being so easy, nice, smart, and well-intended. But it's simply true.
Right.
You living the great delusion will make you lose your common sense. And it's just going on all over. And this is what the Lord says here. How are they not returning? Why won't they return? I've told them, return, turn. And they're not listening to me because they think they're wiser than me. What a delusion. Verse 6, he says, I hearkened and heard, but they spake not aright. No man repented him of his wickedness, saying, what have I done? Everyone turned to his course as a horse rusheth into the battle. Another thing you lose when you're living in this great delusion of thinking you're wiser than God, is you lose your morality. You just lose your morality. You know, it's interesting, he says here that God came and looked and he hearkened, he's hearing, he's actually involved, he's listening. God does this a lot. When he's gonna bring judgment, he actually goes down and listens. He's looking to see what's in people's heart. You know, God is interested in seeing what is your heart like. He wants to know what your heart is like. And he's listening, he's hearing, and he's saying, what is this happening? We see it all over. We see it in Genesis before the flood. He went down and visited them. We see it in Genesis again in 11. We see it in Sodom and Gomorrah. He wanted to go see for himself what is going on. And he's looking and he's wanting to see, have they rejected me? Well, a good way to find out if they've rejected him is to see if they have morality or not. Because when you start living this delusion of thinking you're wiser than God, and you throw God out the window, you know what goes out the window right with him? Morality. Because you see, God, the one that created us, God is the one that sets a fundamental good and evil. There's an objective good and evil, right and wrong. And God is the one who determines that. God is the one that set that up. And if there is no God, who then determines what is good and what is evil? How does that come about? How does that even come about, good and evil, if there is no God? Well, what happens is it just becomes up to each and every one of us. We decide what's good and evil. Or we get together and our society decides what's good and evil. But what if one society wants to call one thing good and another society wants to call another thing good? Who decides what's good and evil? Listen, if there is no God, then each person decides what's good and evil. And there is no objective good and evil. There is no underlying fundamental, this is right and this is wrong. There is none if there is no God. So when you throw God out, when you think you're wiser than God and you live in that delusion, morality goes out the window. All of a sudden, it's whatever you decide is right or whatever you decide is wrong. And that's how we get people calling things that are good, calling them evil. And things that are evil, they start calling them good because they've considered themselves wiser than God. Wiser than God. And so we lose our morality. We lose our morality. Who decides? It's you. Verse 12, he says, were they ashamed when they had committed abominations? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. You see, that's what happens. You lose your morality, and all of a sudden, you're not ashamed of anything. You've just lost your conscience. You don't have any problem. You're the one that decides what good is and what evil is, and so you're not even ashamed anymore of evil. You're not ashamed of what's wrong. God says one thing is wrong, and you can now start flaunting it and saying, I'm not ashamed of that. No, there is nothing to be ashamed of because you don't think that what God says is real. You don't think that what God calls good is really good. You don't think that what God calls evil is really evil. And so you make your own decisions, and you're not even ashamed of it anymore. Go so far to, you can say, yeah, I'm not ashamed. And you can start calling other people to be ashamed for telling you that you're wrong. I'm not ashamed of killing an unborn baby. But boy, you should be ashamed for telling me I can't kill my unborn baby. Well, how do we get there? How does that come about? How does it get to that point? Well, it's because men start thinking, we're wiser than God. And we're living this great delusion, thinking we're so much smarter than God. We throw him right out the window, and we're the ones that decide what is good, what is right, and what is wrong. And then everybody's out for themselves.
Right.
Each person is the one deciding. You decide. You become a sociopath. Because it doesn't affect you anymore. Because there is no underlying right or wrong. If you throw out God, you lose morality. You lose morality. You go down to verse 7. He says, yea, the stork in the heavens knoweth her appointed times. And the turtle and the carn and the swallow observe the time of their coming. But my people know not the judgment of the Lord. He says, listen, these birds, They know when to migrate. They can understand the seasons. They know the seasons. They know the times. They know what's going on. They know when to get out of there, and they know when to go somewhere else. They know these things. But when you start thinking you're wiser than God, you just lost your caution. You lost your perception of danger. You've lost your own instinctive, natural care for your own self. You've just lost it. You've lost your own caution. You don't want to listen to the warnings. Like we said, there are warnings. There are warnings of judgment coming. And he says, what? My people know not the judgment of the Lord. They don't know it. Why don't they know it? Is it because it wasn't proclaimed? Is it because they can't know it? No, they can know it. They just have decided not to listen to it. They've decided not to hearken to it. They've decided not to take heed. God tells you how to escape wrath, and yet you don't want to listen to him. You've lost your own best self-interest. You've lost it. Even migrating birds understand when to flee. Even migrating birds understand the times, and you can't understand them? Well, it's because you've decided to make yourself wiser than God.
Right.
And you've lost that caution that you need. You don't care. You don't know how to measure danger. You know, when somebody doesn't know how to measure danger, you say, boy, you're crazy, right? You start doing things that are very dangerous and is dangerous to yourself, and everybody knows, okay, that guy is a little off. There's something a little wrong with him. He's missing something essential to preserve his own life. He's missing something. He's gone cuckoo. He's crazy. He's delusional. And that's what happens when you stop taking heed, you stop listening to the word of God. The word of the Lord is, there is judgment coming, and you just decide to ignore that. I'm not going to listen to that. I'm not going to hear that. I'm going to just put that on the side. And guess what? You've lost your own best interest. There's something very important that you need to take heed to, and you don't care about it.
Right.
You're not measuring danger. Verse 11, what about it? He says, for they have healed the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. That's losing your own self-interest, your own caution. You don't even know what's best for you, and you start even proclaiming everything's okay. It's all okay. Peace, peace, everything's peaceful. And when God is saying, no, that is not true. It's not peaceful. Everything's not okay. And yet, you go around saying, everything's okay, everything's okay. There's something wrong with that. In fact, right now, recently, with this whole corona thing, when Trump said, you know, oh, don't worry, it's going to be okay, everybody starts getting mad because, what do you mean? You're just taking it lightly and you're saying, okay, and I really don't care about that, but it is interesting that they get mad when something dangerous is coming and you want to act like, oh, it's not that bad, don't worry. But then whenever something real is coming, something really truly bad is coming, judgment of God is coming, and we're trying to warn you, we're trying to tell you, be aware. But there they want you to just say, no, no, no. Say, everything's okay.
Yeah.
Listen, I can't tell you everything's okay.
Right.
What do you want from us? This is something serious. This is reality. This is what is real. And you want us to just act like everything's okay? We can't do that. Everything's not okay. You see, while some people are just saying, peace, peace, everything's fine, God is saying there's true enmity between you and me. And if you do not take heed to the warnings, if you do not bring peace through the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ, if you do not seek Him out and trust in Him and give yourself to Him, if you don't do that, then you are not at peace.
Right.
And you are in grave danger.
Right.
But instead of this, We don't want to listen to the warning. We don't want to listen to the word of the God. Well, God, we don't want to listen to that. And so what we do is, let's just say everything's okay.
Yeah.
And boy, we fool ourselves when we convince ourselves, everything's okay. We get into sin and we just want to comfort ourselves right. In our sin. It's okay. It's not that bad.
Yeah.
Boy, you're fooling yourself. You are living a lie. You are in a great delusion, thinking you're wiser than God.
Right.
God has spoken. And if you don't want to take heed to that, you're living a great delusion. You lose caution. You lose self-protection. You lose self, you start enjoying pain. You start enjoying hurt. And, you know, that by definition is going mad. You're going crazy. You are, there's something missing. There's something wrong. You are delusional. Now, this is it. This is what happens. You have lost respect for the word of God. Because you're living a great delusion, thinking you're wiser than God, what happens is you lose respect for the word of God. And that's what he says in verse 8 and 9. How do you say we are wise? And the law of the Lord is with us. Lo, certainly in vain made he it. The pen of the scribes is in vain. It reminds me of Romans chapter 2. They have the law, and they're boasting that they have the law, but the law is making no difference in their life. It's in vain. He's saying, it's in vain. It's in vain for the scribes to write it. It's in vain for you to be listening to it. It's in vain for you to have it and read it and look at it, and it's coming in and coming in and coming in, but it's not making a difference in your life. Well, you're fooling yourself. You want to boast yourself. You want to think, oh, I've got the word of the Lord and I've listened to it since I was a kid. But if it's made no difference in your heart, then what are you fooling yourself for? You can have the word. You can have it given to you. You can have it spoken to you. But if you don't mix it with faith, like Hebrews says, then it's no good. And they're boastful because, oh, we're wise, we have the word of the Lord, but it's in vain they have it. It doesn't even make a difference. He says, 9, the wise men are ashamed, they are dismayed and taken, though they have rejected the word of the Lord, and what wisdom is in them? They have rejected his word. Even if you heard it and it's not having an impact on you, then you've just rejected it. If you don't believe the gospel, you've rejected the word of the Lord. And that means you're living a great delusion. And you say, why can't there be some way to just make it all fit okay? Why can't what the world teaches and what the Bible teaches just come somehow? There's got to be a way where they're compatible, where it's all okay. And it's just simply not.
That's right.
They're coming from two different points of view. It's so far so that God says, listen, if you are a friend of the world, you're an enemy of God. Why? Because they're not compatible. Listen, if you don't believe the gospel, then you are calling Jesus a lunatic. And it's either you're a lunatic or Jesus is a lunatic. You're either calling Jesus delusional, or you're going to accept the fact that you've been delusional. Because you see, Jesus makes certain claims that if you don't believe, then you either think he's a liar, that he knew he was wrong and he was just lying, or that he actually claimed and thought he was God when he really wasn't. And if you don't believe the gospel, that's what you're saying. You're claiming, no, Jesus, you said you were God. No, the Bible, the gospel says that Jesus rose again on the third day, and I'm just not going to accept that. Then you are calling Jesus a liar. You're calling Jesus a delusional man. You've rejected the word of God. And you know, that is what a lot of people do. They just simply reject Jesus. Oh, they'll talk about Jesus in good ways. They'll talk about him and how good he was and all these good things. They'll say good things and nice things about him. But they will reject the fundamental truths that he spoke. Yes. Jesus was God and he died on the cross and he rose again the third day. Do you believe that? Amen. Well, if you reject that, then you are living a great delusion.
Yes.
Because that is real. That is the true reality. And it's sad, again, because this great delusion brings great consequences. You don't want to believe what's real. You don't want to accept the word of the Lord. You don't want to follow God. Then you are going to have to suffer the consequences. Well, you might be caught up in this great delusion. You might have been living until now thinking, oh, you are so much wiser than God. Well, how do you know that? Well, you just, everything the word of the Lord says, you reject. And you're thinking that you know better. You know best. You know what's better for you. In the long run, in the short run, you know best. You know better than God. And you're living that great delusion. I'm saying it's time to wake up. It's time to wake up. Wake up out of that delusion. How are we going to do that? How can you wake up to that delusion? Well, it's easy. You just have to accept the word of the Lord.
Yes.
You have to submit yourself to that higher authority.
Right.
You see, God, he did create you and he does know best. He does know more. He does know better than you. And when he gave you his word, he expects you to understand he knows better. And so I submit my will. I submit my understanding. I submit myself to what he says. And when you do that, you passed on to real reality. You know, preaching reality to a delusional person is never gonna be pretty. Have you ever tried to convince somebody that thought they were so smart, they thought they're so wise, have you ever tried to convince that person that he's wrong? That's a hard thing to do. It's really hard to do. And you know, I'm sure the world is looking at us thinking, oh man, those Christians are so delusional, and you can't convince them. You can't talk to them. You can't talk them out of it. You can't show them. And we understand. We understand why they think we're delusional, because they have a different reality. They don't accept what's really real. And so, it's going to be a messy thing when you're trying to convince two people that you're delusional. No, you're delusional. Trying to convince people that they're not delusional or that they are delusional, it's going to be a messy thing. It's not a pretty thing. It's not a pretty thing. It's not easy. But that's what it comes down to. It's simply, that's what it comes down to. God has spoken through Jesus Christ. We have his word. We have the gospel. He's given it to us. He's presented it to us. And what are we going to do? Are we going to accept his word? Are we going to decide we're wiser than God? We're wiser than him. And so we're going to reject his word. That's what it comes down to. And you know, we say, well, but we present these evidences, and then they present those evidences, and there's all these evidences, and I go by evidences. The truth is, you can muster up evidence for anything you want to believe. Anything you want to believe, you can muster up evidence for. I can tell you, I got to try this too with my kids. I want to tell them, you know, my blood is actually blue. Look at my veins. You look at my veins and my blood is blue. It looks that way. And if we didn't know better, just by looking at it from what my eyes can see, I'd say my blood is blue because my veins are blue. But we know that's not true. But would that count as evidence to your blood being blue? you can say it's evidence, but it's just not a complete evidence, because there's more missing. You're not seeing the full picture. There's still other things that are implied to be able to find out really what color your blood is. Just cut yourself open and you'll find out. It's not blue. Well, that's the thing is, we can see something. We see one thing and we have all these things and we call them evidences. But there's still much more to it. So much more to it. You're telling me I'm going to have to believe that you are so much wiser than God when every day you're finding things out that you didn't know before. I mean, every day they're making discoveries, and these are awesome discoveries, and they're like, whoa. And you're expecting me to believe, oh, you know everything. You got the whole complete evidence of everything there is. No, that's just not true. God has told us what the truth is. Amen. And you can either believe it, or you can reject it. And if you reject it, you are living the great delusion because you're thinking you are wiser than God. Both, remember, both non-believers and believers can fall in to living this great delusion. Because even as a believer, you can get to the point where you're just still thinking you're wiser than God. You're still just rejecting God's word. Right there it says it, but you're just still resisting it. You still somehow think, no, I'm a little smarter than that. And you're rejecting God's word. And he's saying, no, you're wrong. He's saying, turn. He's saying, that is wrong. And you're saying, well, but it feels good, but I like it, but it's okay. You're giving excuses for doing what you want to do. And what you're doing is you're living a delusion. Thinking, oh Lord, I know you say that, but, and I know you probably won't say it out loud. You won't even make that statement. Lord, I know better than you. But you're living that way.
Right.
So I think it's time to stop living this great delusion. It's time to hear the word of the Lord and to not reject it.
Amen.
Listen to the word of the Lord. If he's saying get up, if he's saying return, don't go that wrong way, come back. If he's saying here it is, this is the gospel, judgment is coming, this is what you need to do. Jesus Christ rose again.
Amen.
And if you want to reject that, just know that by rejecting that, you are claiming, you are stating, you are saying, God, I am wiser than you. And that just is simply the greatest delusion that you could be living, thinking you are wiser than God. Well, let's pray to close out. Dear Father, Lord, we thank you for your creation. We thank you for what you have done. Lord, it is a wonder. And Lord, it's so amazing. We still find things every day. There's things to discover, and Lord, we find more and more about you as we go along. But Lord, there's something in our hearts, there's something in our minds that wants to reject and wants to run from you. And we want to claim to be wiser than you. But Lord, while professing to be wise, in reality, we are fools. And Lord, we ask that you would be with us. You would give us more time, Lord. I pray that you would continue to hold off the judgment, that you would continue to be patient towards us, Lord, and that you would call others to yourself, Lord. I ask that those of us that have been going the wrong way and not willing to return, not willing to give up our sin, willing to give up what you've called evil, Lord, and to return unto you, I pray that you would convict us, that you would reach out to us with your word, and that we would not reject it anymore. Lord, we ask that you would continue to do a work that is beyond our ability. Lord, we trust in you. We trust what you say. We trust the evidences that you've left us, Lord. We trust and we believe that you, with your own blood, died, your own blood is shed for us, Lord, is enough to save us from our sins. And we thank you for going to the cross, for dying, and for resurrecting, Lord. We thank you and remember that, and we praise you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, praise the Lord. We will be here next Sunday at 10 a.m. And if y'all want to keep doing the Lord's Supper, you know, do that at your house. It's a good idea. Gather your family together. Maybe you can call somebody on FaceTime or something and just do it together. And just remember the Lord's death. Remember His burial. Remember His resurrection like He commanded us to do. It would be a good thing for you to do at your house if you're wanting to do that. Lord bless you. We'll see you next week.
Amen.